This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey, everybody. It's Aaron Norris with the Norris Group, and we are back with Mark Leswing and Todd Carpenter from the National Association of Realtors. Continuing our conversation on technology. My next question was, should escrow and title be worried about their jobs?
There's adjustments to be made with any technology.
That's fair. Well, hey, realtor too. I mean, the whole goal and what makes a lot of people uncomfortable, and it's not just our industry, it's getting rid of the middleman. And I mean, I grew up in the age of real estate when my dad was in real estate, where I was in the back of the car sitting next to a Thomas guide and a set of faxes from the realtor to on properties to go look at. Now, as a realtor, you're working with a consumer that start online 95% of the time, and they come to you knowing there's estimates, knowing what houses they want to see. I mean, the data that we held near and dear and was the gateway to our success is now at the fingertips of the consumer. The value proposition that our industry is bringing to the table has just changed. So in your mind, what is that now?
You know, I think that if you look at the transaction itself and the difficulties and the unpredictable parts about what happens from the time you decide that this is the house that you really love to the time you move in, has proven to be so difficult that, you know, if you look, there's more real estate agents being used today than there were before the internet started. And so as a gatekeeper of data, yeah, the value has gone down, but as a shepherd that helps people go through that, certainly more data has just even made it harder for people to navigate that. And so being that consultant has really been the primary value proposition for a modern real estate agent.
There's a very interesting concept there when you said eliminating this middleman. I'll tell you, what we're eliminating with blockchain and real estate, we're eliminating all the wasted time of doing all these searches and scans and gathering all the information between the parties. That so it's actually it's an efficiency play. So we're not eliminating jobs. What we're doing is eliminating the time it takes for each one of these jobs to happen. Therefore, to Todd's point here, hey, see, you're still going to go out there and do $80,000, but instead of thinking about your $80,000 transaction for 90 days, it's really going to shrink. It's going to shrink maybe to 4 or 5 weeks, and therefore, the consumer here is going to need somebody to make sure that they understand what's going to happen with that kind of money in such a short amount of time.
Okay.
And what could go wrong with that? How could it go off the rails when you're moving that much money on somebody's life so quickly. So what's being eliminated is waste,
okay.
Not jobs.
When do you think we'll start hearing a lot more about blockchain in real estate, and where do you think it'll start here in the U.S.?
Hey, that's a great question because we're going to start pushing it from the upstream part of it. In other words, where the transaction starts, which is really with the broker side of it. And kind of push it downstream as it rolls. I know there's efforts happening at some progressive counties, but the problem is there's over 1,000 counties that, how do you get that moving from that side? So I think the easiest way to push this is from upstream toward the downstream. So I think everything follows gravity that way. I don't know how you can start in the middle and push it both ways.
No, I agree. You summed up, I think it was in your second white paper on the blockchain, the adoption issues and things that you were going to run into with, I didn't at first understand the private blockchain. I'm like, isn't that very off brand for blockchain? The idea of like, oh, this is our little space because it's supposed to be totally transparent, but your paper made it a little bit, definitely sort of clarified that for me. And then
I tell you, you don't want to go out here and make a lot of mistakes in a very public way with a lot of people's money and let them lose a lot of, you have a lot of egg on your face if you start moving, because people are going to lose it be the consumers, and they're going to be losing real money if we make mistakes.
Yeah, for sure.
Getting it right first, we should do it in a private space.
Understood.
But I'm not talking a decade. Give it 18 months to 2 years. Let's get it done in the private space. We'll learn a lot about governance. What are the new rules? You don't have these firewalls. You don't have all these databases. What are the new rules and how do you really control this for the betterment of the consumer?
Well, and to be honest, I mean, we're so heavily regulated. That was one of my questions for blockchain.info. It was just like, we're in such a heavily regulated space, and we do hard money here in California. And so when Dodd-Frank came out, we had a state that said that's not enough. So they came out with their own overlay. And so when you're developing technology, how do you even, I don't even know. So in a perfect world, yeah, we're cutting out the middleman. We don't need to consider regulation anymore. Not so.
Exactly. We're not doing that. In fact, we're understanding it so that when the regulators and legislators come, and they will come, absolutely, they'll work with us because we actually know what we're talking about versus doing nothing's the worst, because the regulators and legislators are going to do what they have to do on behalf of the consumers to protect them. If we're doing things, doing it right, we can actually counsel them on, you know, what's, how do you really control and regulate this thing? Because we'll know what we're talking about and we'll have demonstrable track records.
I agree.
I think that if you look at the way that real estate data moves around today, at least the, you know, the private data, there's a contract that is out there between the two different parties, whether it's a IDX agreement or a syndication agreement or a terms of service. There's a legal contract that's binding the use of that data already. So we're not talking about a completely new concept. It's just a more of a marriage of the legal and technical aspects of moving data around.
Well, I think you guys are going to be very important in NAR over the next 5 years. And I hope that regulators reach out to you guys. And it's nice that you're already there researching the space. So thank you for being there for sure. Let's move on to the report, Todd, that you worked on, robots and real estate. I am fascinated by all this. And I want to cover just really quickly. When I talk about real estate, one of the things that come up from realtors is they hate Zillow. They're not shy about it. And Zillow has spoken at our events before, and they know it. But what was really interesting this year, they were very forthcoming. They said, we're only interested in the top 10 to 15% of the players. We're not interested in the realtors that are doing, you know, a few transactions a year. They're going after the big guys. And it's clear to me, they're sort of trying to create a platform from soup to nuts. You're going to be able to accomplish an entire transaction. It's CRM meets project management meets contract management all in one. So, but their market is clearly that top 10 to 15 percentile. The other concern for realtors is like, oh, I hate advertising there. But specifically, I was looking at your chart, Exhibit 3.9, where buyers found the home they ultimately ended up purchasing back from 2001. And you just see the change. So in 2001, it made 8,000, the internet was driving 8%, and now it's 51%. I was surprised to see that real estate agent was 48% in 2001, and it's 34% now. So it's still a major player, but things like newsprint and advertisement is down to 1%, and then Homebooker magazine, it doesn't even show up. So realtors that have been around for a long time, I mean, the industry has just changed in front of their eyes in a very short period of time. So that catch-up factor that we were talking about, I see eyes glaze over quite a bit when I'm talking. So when you're out and about talking about these things, is there a sense of resentment? Like, I'm willing to learn? Like, what's the feeling you get in these audiences?
There's a couple things to consider. One is you talk about, you know, the old magazines and the newspapers and all the print advertising that real estate agents used to do. And honestly, you know, in Colorado, we had Lands and Home magazine. And I promise you, like 90% of the people that ever looked at a listing in those magazines was the real estate agent who was listing it just to make sure it was in that book, right? So it's expensive, and as expensive as those books were, you know, marketing on the internet is far cheaper before you compensate for inflation. So I can understand nobody really wants to advertise online, but the thing that I always go back to is these real estate portals, they're not your competition. They're the tools that your competition is using. And so if you have another broker in your market spending all kinds of money on a portal, it's not really the portal's fault. It's the fact that, you know, the other broker wants to drive you out of business and they want to, you know, get more of the business itself. And so you kind of have to look at these advertising in general as sort of a necessary evil. But when you think about the companies that the portals have put not necessarily out of business, but they've certainly taken out of their pocketbooks, it is the old print advertising. And I think what will be interesting with artificial intelligence is when you start having robots that aren't just, Amazon or Google, but actual robots that sit in your pocket that work just for you, how the internet will have to adjust to that, because there's a a big possibility that that robot will go out and do all your searching for you and then just get back to you. And suddenly, you know, the internet portals and all the places where people have invested to market online, that could be in for a big shift.
I agree. And I'm so glad I definitely want to spend some time on artificial intelligence. CB Insights released a quote on Instagram yesterday that totally cracked me up. It's Gen Z learned to swipe before they learned to wipe. And when I talk about artificial intelligence, I talk a lot about, you know, if you've ever watched a 1.5-year-old that can't talk, but they can find pictures and videos of themselves without a problem. It's fascinating. But a couple months ago, I witnessed for the first time a fellow realtor. I was over at their house and they have a bunch of kids under the age of 8. And I was watching them how they were interacting with an Amazon Dot and Alexa. Amazon, play this song. Amazon, tell me about this. And they're just talking to thin air. So when I speak in front of audience, I'm like, I think we're about 5 years away from getting rid of the telephone screen. And they look at me like I'm Satan. And then I start telling them about all the different bots. Facebook has M, Microsoft has Cortana, we've got Alexa. So what you're saying is totally true. And it's so personalized. Every one of us is going to have a robot in our pocket, whether they're thinking of it like that or not, getting to know our preferences. My question for you is, on Mark, I found one of your presentations on Prezi. I had never heard this term before, zero interface, which is really cool. I was really excited because I'd never been able to put a term to it. Will you describe what that is?
Yeah, zero interface is things you don't have to touch at all. So, I mean, nowadays, you know, people talk about being voice, but it could also be the machine looking at you and determining by your facial features. It could be your gestures. Mm-hmm. We saw a lot of that with the Wii. Remember, you can move the hand around and do that. So that's zero interface. You're controlling something, but it's getting its cues. Instead of me waiting to click a mouse or hit a key, it's just watching my body movement itself or sound. So therefore, it's zero interface. Nothing's touching me at all.
Right.
That's what I mean, zero.
And people were like, well, why? How could we get rid of, you know, cell phones? I'm like, well, we've got the Apple Watch. We've got the Google Glass. You know, we're not that far away from wearables being a major player. And, you know, with an earpiece, what more do you need? Kind of thing. Is being connected to a screen really all that helpful and useful, especially with augmented reality right around the corner is basically the concept. But I think artificial intelligence is going to happen a lot faster. Today, before this interview, I said, hey, Alexa, where can I buy real estate? And I've talked to the Amazon team because I've been talking on the circuit about voice search optimization. So we compete a lot with search engine optimization. So I asked the Alexa team, I'm like, how are you pulling and deciding who shows up? So I've been on, you know, making sure I'm on the top 10 on Google. But when I get away from my cell phone and I ask Alexa, what makes up the referrals that you're giving a user? Do you have any ideas of, sure enough, by the way, when I asked Alexa, there were local real estate companies that got spit back at me, which I thought was interesting, both realtor and mortgage. Do you guys have any idea or speculations on how they're going to be referring leads to us?
Well, I think that if you look at a service like Alexa or Ask Google, it's really not that much different than a Google search in that you have this central cloud, this one engine, decision-making engine that might do some customization based on what it knows about you, just like when you do a Google search and you get some results that are focused on you because it knows your IP address, knows what you searched for before. Mm-hmm. But when you start talking about the wearables and the robot aspect of someone that can, a machine, think of not a robot like Alexa, but think of a robot like it's your dog, mm-hmm. right? And your dog could know a lot about you. Your dog could know how often, when you eat and when you're home and when you're not and what, you know, lots of really personal information. And when this robot can process that stuff locally and you're not sharing it with Amazon or Google or, you know, any of the other largest companies in the world, then people will, I think, instinctively let that robot know more about them. So then suddenly their ability to, your ability to come up first in the search results kind of goes away completely because the robot starts looking for what's right for just that one person. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's right because of location or past traffic on a website. It's based on how often they like to walk or where they go to eat or, you know, those type of things that are much more personal. So when it comes to generating leads, I think that's going to be probably the biggest struggle that a brokerage or a real estate company is going to have is trying to navigate through that, because those robots are going to kind of sort through all your efforts to market to them and come up first in those results.
And when I present, one of the things I show is when Facebook used to have a relationship with Bing, and you did a search, and if you were logged into Facebook on the right hand side, it was like your network talking about those things. So if I talked about pizza, and I did a search on Bing, you would have your paid ads, your SEO ranking searches, your geo modified search, and then what I was calling the word of mouth results. And that was unique to Bing at the time, because no other search engine was really pulling in those social cues. So, I mean, I'm banking on reviews being really important, social clues being really important, geographic location, and that's all that we in the real estate community can really bank on. But what's interesting about that, it's relationship. I mean, our industry is so relationship driven. If you ask a realtor, you know, the majority of your leads, where are they coming from? And they're saying from past clients or from personal referrals. So it's a trust factor. People are getting off the internet. Sure, they're doing their research there, but they're coming to a person for the relationship and help getting through the process. So I think it's something that our industry has to pay a lot of attention to, because it's going to be really different when it happens. And I don't think we're that far away. Is there anything exciting that you're seeing? Like, I like the semi-automated Mason and the 3D printing this last year, that Ukraine property that went up in 24 hours. I mean, do you see any, do you get excited about any of the robotics in our space and what it's going to do?
I think really the robot that is most impressive to me is Siri, which I wrote about in that report that you read. Mostly because of the way that it's trying to do machine learning locally, you know, within its own device. And also because, the iPhone is only 10 years old. And so you think about 10 years from now where it's going to be. I was just looking at some pictures the other night that I took with my iPhone 10 years ago, and they're terrible. And now you look at how amazing just the camera. I mean, we're not even talking about the rest of the phone. Another example that I kind of blew me away lately is Wired Magazine had this video of Boston Dynamics. I don't know if you know who they are. They build robots. I mean, real robots. And a few years ago, they had a video of this robot that, you know, kind of looked like a deer. It had four legs, and it would kind of trot around, and they would kick it, and it would still be able to keep its balance. And
saw that one.
You know, it was pretty impressive. And now they have, you know, they just released a video of one that has two legs and arms, and it looks more like a human, and it's doing calisthenics, it's doing backflips.
I saw
that. Of course, it still falls every once in a while, but it sounds crazy and futuristic now. But boy, I mean, how safe would it be if you as a real estate agent had a robot that went and attended all your showings with you, right? And could record everything about the house, but also, you know, as a security device, or, you know, can provide extra services for you. So that it's not as far in the future today as it was just 5 years ago. It seems like it's much closer now. And so I think, not only will you have these robotic things that are, you know, phones or thermostats, but we're very close to having these mobile devices that'll just walk around with us that can be helpful to us.
I agree. You did bring up something interesting in the report that was stated, is that how Siri was different than Amazon. So Siri, the artificial intelligence, is really stays in your pocket, and where some of the other bots like Alexa sort of lives in the cloud, if you will. So people will be more comfortable working with a bot like Siri because it's not communicated back to other companies and sold and all that, compared to Alexa, who would. An assessment that's true?
I think that if Google and Alexa are to succeed, they'll have to demonstrate that they're not going to do that. Mm. But just the mere fact that the way that Siri is being developed, you know, to do as much as it possibly can at that local level, it might not be Apple that ultimately wins at that. But that concept, I think, for other companies building robots could be really, really strong. It's, hey, let's not look at these customers as creators of data we can sell to someone else. Let's look at how we can serve them. And I think that idea can definitely win out when it comes to this.
As far as 2018, in the next couple of years, is there any technology or anything that really excites you that our industry should be watching out for?
You know, one of the Reach Accelerator companies, we have a technology accelerator that our venture capital fund provides. They funded this company called TrustStamp, and TrustStamp is, I think, a really cool company that's using machine learning and actually using blockchain as well. But they're creating a way of sending messages where it uses facial recognition, for one, to assure that the person sending the message is the person that you think is sending the message. And when you think about one of the biggest factors that's really going to affect real estate in the future, it's this whole, you know, cybercrime and all the different ways that people are getting more and more advanced in stealing money, right? And Mark talked about this earlier. You know, you have this acceleration of the transaction, things happening really fast. You definitely want a real estate agent out there to protect you from having your entire life life savings stolen. And so these new technologies like Trust Stamp that are helping to make sure that the person emailing you really is the person that you think is emailing you are going to be really valuable. And it's a small service in the grand scheme of things, but it's kind of a sign of where we're going.
Very cool. Okay, Mark, anything you're really excited about?
Yep. If I would have jumped in sooner, I would have said the same thing as far as identity. Identity management is huge. Okay, so let's go to the upside of it. It's actually how consumers interact with their communities and their cities through the use of data. So it's a data play, but it's actually improving their lives by looking at the data of the city itself. You know, understanding how to get from point A to B. We have that now in cars, but actually understanding air quality and things like that. I think it can get very big as far as applications for the consumer based upon data. And I think realtors have a good play there.
The Internet of Things, that's where, you know, smart devices in your home are all connected via apps and whatnot. So this, you're talking about the big sister, which is, I think it's called the Array of Things, correct?
Correct.
So you guys are based in Chicago. I don't know how you guys ended up in Chicago because NAR's on the East Coast, but okay, you guys are, so they've deployed in Chicago. How many different of these devices on poles throughout the city?
I think there are over 40 and bigger. I mean, they're in a wave moving out. So it actually just analyzing that data for different kinds of things is really where the future would be. So actually harvesting that data, then looking at how people live, gives you great insight into what the needs of the consumer will be. For instance, things like food deserts and things like this. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in a commercial space, where should you be moving your businesses to? Yes, you can get that data today, but there'd be a free data associated with that and much richer sets to be able to do business with.
Oh my gosh. So in 10 years, I've been in micro marketing courses that, you know, take into consideration like traffic and net worth. But what you're saying right now is like in maybe 10 years, I'll be able to be a national brand that says, hey, I'm looking to roll out to a place where the average decibel level of noise is this, and the foot candle in the area is this, and walkability score is this. All that's going to be accessible. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So real quick, how do we sort of watch your guys' work? What website should we be following at NAR to keep up on all this stuff?
I'll tell you, the real nerdy stuff is at crtlabs.org. That's really where the Center for Realtor Technology, we have a full laboratory there exploring crazy stuff, even like material science and things like this, building materials all the way through to sensors and, of course, blockchain type stuff. But the hard science, I would say crtlabs.org.
Okay. And what are you guys reading? How do you keep up on all this stuff? What do you read in magazines, websites?
Oh, the best way, my secret has been through my whole career, I've never gotten away from doing the software myself. So I still am an active participant in every project. I carry my own goals. And so I'm not just like in some room doing meetings. I'm actually on my computer coding away every day. And my favorite website, slashdot.org.
I think that one mistake a lot of real estate agents make when it comes to technology is they spend a lot of time looking at a real estate website when, you know, there's some great consumer-grade technology sites, including the Verge and Wired Magazine. There's others like Mashable that focus on social media, things like that. But those two in particular,
they cover how it's used in terms of the people reading. I agree.
Right. With you. And you don't necessarily get your best ideas from the people in your own sphere. You're going to find something new when you're looking at a broader scope and seeing what somebody in fintech is doing or somebody in the health insurance or, you know, healthcare areas. So Those are my two go-to.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I'm going to post all these links on the show notes, CRT Labs. I'll post links to the robots and real estate, and then also the blockchain, all that kind of stuff. Thank you so much for your time today. This has been great. Nerdy, I loved it. And we'll have to have you back every once in a while to keep us up to date.
Yep. Anytime, Aaron.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.